answer. Which Christian has had the most influence in your life? And why is that? Would you classify that person as someone who is mature in Christ? What is it about that person that you think makes them mature in Christ? You might say a mature Christian is someone who reads their Bible, prays a lot, goes to college, gets ordained, or has a certain aura around them. But here's a different question. I mean, one you haven't thought of before. What does a mature church look like? If we are one body in Christ, this passage of Scripture talks about the maturity of a church, not the individual. How does a mature church look, act, respond, present itself like? Even more direct, does this local body of Christ want to be a mature expression of Jesus and what he's doing in the world? Does this, you and I, body of Christ, want to be a mature expression of Jesus and what God is doing in the world? That is the very question being answered from this text. And I think this is a poignant passage for us as a church. Because, ironically, when we read the scriptures, God addresses peoples first and then individuals. And here he addresses the church first and then individuals in the church. The chapter 4 of Ephesians starts the second half of this book. The chapter 1, we heard about all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, then Paul prays. Chapters 2 and chapters 3 talk about the mystery of God revealed, which is God is creating all things together under Jesus, and that is Jew and Gentile together. And in that we heard it's by faith that we're saved, that we are made alive in Jesus, in Christ. And then chapter 3 ends up with another prayer. And chapter 4 now talks about how do we function as this new body of Christ, this new people of God. What does it look like? And the problem is this. Every people group has diversity. People bring their own experiences to a people group. Their own expectations. Their own theology. And all of a sudden, you have to come together and God says, be one. And that means church by nature is messy. That's how church is. We grow together, it's messy. We get to know each other, it's messy. We have sins and we argue, it's messy. Quite simply, it is messy being the family of God. As with any family you're involved with, it is messy, but we can't just leave it there. As Christians who represent Christ, we need to change and we need to become mature followers of Jesus. Have your Bibles open, please. And let's see what God has to say to us. So how do we grow to maturity together in Christ? That's the question being asked. And look at chapter 4 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes to the churches, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I don't want you to miss the passion here. He says, I urge you. There is something that he thinks is really important. And if he thinks it's really important, it's important to God, it is important to us. What is so important to the Apostle Paul in this emotional appeal that we need to heed from? What happens with the very nature of the church is I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Here, calling needs to be understood. So he says, you've been called to do something, make sure you do it well. What is this something that you've been called to do? And it comes back to not just our individual walk with Jesus, But he's talking to the church. What is the calling of the church?
He said it three or four times already in Ephesians, that the manifold wisdom of God be made known through the church. That all things come under Jesus, who is the head, including the church. You get this picture of the calling is a corporate calling, or that we as a church, as the body of Christ, are to represent what God is doing in the world. And if there's such diversity in the church, that there's division in the church, which is what it's talking about, it's the messiness of it, then that is not worthy of the calling of God. Another way, if church is messy and not being resolved, the church is immature. If what happens in the church is constantly bickering and gossip and white-anting, then that is an immature church. And so God says to the church in the first century, live a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And we are to be the united body of Christ, Jew, Gentile, diversity, working together as one. And as a church, this church, we have not stopped growing. We have not reached the amen yet. We're going to be growing. It's going to get messy. And so we need to learn from this path from the Lord our God. How do we, as a messy church, growing together as a mixed family, grow to maturity? Well, verse 2 says this. Bearing with one another in love. A messy church grows to maturity by bearing with one another in love. And that's an unusual definition of love. An old translation, sometimes I like, is that in long suffering. Okay, we are long suffering with one another. Or we carry the burden of someone else's failure in love. We carry the burden of someone else's offense in love. The mature body of Christ does heavy emotional lifting, because carrying burdens is actually, in fact, what love is all about. We'll see that obviously at the cross. Try and think of a nuclear family. There's always one in the family, isn't there? Eh? It might be you. Often we don't think it's us, or we think someone else. There's always one in the family. You can cut and paste that person, couldn't you? Say, just cut them out of everything. Just don't invite them. But if you do that, you're no longer a family, are you? In theory, you can't cut and paste family members. What other options do you have? You bear with that person. You do it in love. And you do it as joyfully as possible. The big difference between a church family and our nuclear family is we often have to put up with more than just one person. There's lots of us here, isn't there? And we're all troubled. And we all hurt. And we all have our experiences that scar us. We have to grow. We need to bear the burden, the emotional burden, of the sins of others, so we grow to maturity. The next command is quite similar in verse 2, or maybe verse 3. It says, if you want to be a mature body of Christ, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The command, make every effort. That gives very little room for making excuses, doesn't it? Someone is painful in church, and you're just about to give up on them. You say to yourself, it's just not worth it. What does Jesus say? Make it better. Painful, right? Heavy lifting, right? Sort of stick your head back into that vice, put your neck on the chopping board. Well, some person once said to me, you've got to stick your head back into that scrum. Sticking your head in the scrum's not pleasant, is it? Backside of two guys, been squashed together. That's what it's like sometimes. Relationships are like sticking your head back into that scrum. what we learn from Jesus. He takes the weight of our sin, takes our relational dysfunction with God and with each other, and nails it to the cross in his own way. Wasn't a pleasant love, but a necessary one. Make every effort, carry the burden of one another. If we want to be a mature church, we have heavy relational lifting to do. And we need to make every effort to do so. I've read this passage a number of times this week with people, and at least two times, if not all, people have said, three times, said, it's hard, isn't it? Certainly is. But as a community, this is the culture we need to establish. We are the body of Christ. We want to live in a way worthy of Jesus and of our calling. We must be a community of grace. A community of grace is a mature body of Christ. What does that mean? Well, we put simply, a community does not hold people's sin against them. That's what grace is. Not holding people's sin against them. See, if we're a body that holds people's sin against them, we are not a community that is worthy of the Lord. Far from it. We are a community of legalism and of judgment. If you want to be a mature body of Christ, I urge you, bear with one another in love. For today, you might be the person that needs to do the forgiving, but I promise you, one day, you will need forgiveness as well. To make this happen, we must grow to maturity, have common grace amongst us, and change your attitudes. The next few verses talk to us about our attitude. Look at verse 2 again. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit and body, of the body, the body of things. What sort of change of attitude and heart do we need? We need to be completely humble, gentle, patient. Let me turn around and I'll ask you for your input here. What is the opposite to humility? Pride. So if you want a dysfunctional church, be full of pride. Be full of yourself. What's the opposite to gentleness? Harshness. If you want a dysfunctional church, be harsh. What is the opposite to patience? Impatience. If you want a dysfunctional church, be impatient with one another. If you want to be a mature church and not an immature church, seek humility, seek gentleness, and be patient. Patient with one another. We learn that from Jesus, don't we? His humility, his gentleness, his patience, and we, his body. And so we should reflect that same verse. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort. Do it with a gracious attitude. And they may continue to grow and mature body of Christ. Because as we said, division in the church makes us immature. So verses 4 and 6 remind us for the theological reasons why we should be united and not divided. With verses 4 and 6. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. It's not hard to see that, is it? You just listen carefully. There's a repetition of a certain word. What is that word? One. If God is one, we have one baptism, there's one Lord, there's one faith, one body of belief, there's one Father who's through, then again, to live a life worthy of our calling, we need to be one as well. One emotionally, relationally, theologically, functionally. All those things, we need to work as one body. But the moment we start dividing and splitting off, then we become dysfunctional again. But because God is one, if you get power out of that, get it. God, you are one. Let me put myself away so I can work as being one as a community. And it's that beautiful picture of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, distinct, but one, we are the same. Distinct,
individuals, but we are still one body. And as one body, we're told here, this next section, how do we grow? How do we functionally grow together as one body? So we're talking about attitude, right? Now it's activity. But there's more theology coming before we get there. Have a look at chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Okay. This is a bit cumbersome, this section. It won't spend much time here, but it's worth looking at. Verse 7, he starts to talk about Jesus and his victory at the cross. Verse 7 says this, but each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. In other words, each person in the church is a gift apportioned by God. Not just the what you do, but the very personhood of who you are. He goes on to talk about being ascended on high, led captives in his train, gave gifts to men. Psalm 68, you can explore it more later on. Won't get bogged down there now. But the point is this, when Christ won his victory on the cross, he defeated sin, death, and the devil, and he pulled you out of being a prisoner of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and says, I'm going to give you now renewed, a new person, new heart, new mind, new soul, spirit, and I'm going to give you as a gift to the church, according to my will. So there's a sense in which when you come to Christ, you've been renewed as a gift to the church. Not just what you do, but your very person. And Paul actually highlights some of those people in verse 11. Look at verse 11. It was said, it is Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Paul highlights four different people groups, four different offices, all having in common one thing, it's the word of God. Prophets teach, apostles teach about Jesus from the Old Testament, how he fulfills it. Prophets proclaim Jesus. Evangelists talk about Jesus and call you to repentance. And pastors and teachers, which is my job and Michael's job, all to do with the word of God. We teach the word of God. So Jesus says, these are some of the gifts God gives to the church, which you all are gifts. But most important, these are the ones that deal with the word of God, and these are the ones that equip you for the work of service. That's how we teach the Bible here. That's how we teach the Bible in our small groups. That's how we teach the Bible in our homes. And that's how we teach the Bible to one another. Because that is how we build each other up in love. Okay? Gifts, you're the gift, I'm the gift, to each other. My job and Michael's job is to teach you about Jesus from the Word, so that you are equipped, for verse 12, to do God's work, for verse 12. It's four people groups, four teachers. Verse 12, to prepare God's people for the works of service so the body of Christ will be built up, and until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become what? Mature. Attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If I'm doing my job properly, you're growing in knowledge and love of Jesus. You're growing in serving one another. You're growing in serving God himself. And if we do that together, we are building each other up so we become mature, not as individuals, but as a corporate entity, the body of Christ. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Okay, don't miss that verse 13 when it says, we all reach unity of the faith. See that? See, it's so corporately thinking in this passage. If I grow in Christ, you grow in Christ. If you grow in Christ, I grow in Christ. We do that. Here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. How do we become mature? Well, there's an analogy here or a picture of children, infants. And you've seen an infant when you go to the beach with your children, you keep a good eye on them, don't you? Or your grandchildren? Why? Because you know one wave comes along and psh,
off they go, right? Well, they're not much weight to them, not very stable. Or if a child's there and there's a big breeze coming over, they can get blown over. The analogy is that if you start to listen everything and anything about Jesus, every wind of doctrine, everything that comes through, Curon, if you listen to everything there, you'll be just tossed like this. You'll be emotionally unstable. You'll be spiritually unstable. The church, if you start entertaining all sorts of teaching from the pulpit, we become an unstable, immature church. Curon, they are very clever, it says, cunning and craftiness of men. Deceitful and scheming. They're the way they want to mind the church to make it infant, to make it immature, is not to be discerning about Jesus. So we don't want to be a church that's flippy and floppy around, immature. We've got to study theology, the study of God, the person of Jesus. And as Matt prayed for us today, to know the gospel, but she led the gospel, defend the gospel, preach the gospel. That's your 101s. Get that strong. And we together can become mature followers of Christ. So I'll summarize. It's one more part to go. And this is the kids' talk, right? Ephesians 4:16. We are to grow together as each part does its work. Verse 16. From him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does it. Now again, corporate imagery, the whole body, we're joined together, supporting ligaments, and we are a growing people. So we build each other up. Key point is, as each part does its work. That's the key. If we all got a role to play, there is no such thing as a free ride in the Christian life. Again, we're not going to a restaurant getting fed. Not on a cruise ship sitting back by the pool. We are a church that is actively serving God and serving another. But each part is to work properly. So you wake up one morning and you're a brickie and your two thumbs decide they're not going to go to work today. You're in a bit of trouble, aren't you? You wake up one morning, experience of some of us, and the bladder goes on strike. We're in trouble, aren't we? But if all the parts are working properly, building themselves up, then we grow to maturity. And that doesn't mean just here on Sundays, please don't hear that. It's through every day of the week. Spending time with each other, showing hospitality to one another, calling each other, praying for each other, encouraging one another. If we are to grow to maturity, I can promise you it will not happen 1.5 hours on Sunday. No chance. It won't happen. You've got too many hours in the world, too many hours of your own thoughts, too many hours of your own desire. You're gone. But we need to grow to maturity together as we share life, as we pray for one another, as we keep each other accountable. Let me finish. I hope and pray you want to be a mature church in Christ. I think you do. Leading us to personal responsibility. We've got to put away anger and impatience and arrogance. We need to develop a community of grace, so we're allowed to make mistakes. We're allowed to be sinners and be shown the grace of God to one another. We are to have no division amongst us. We are to be relationally together, theologically together, functionally working together to build each other up. And I said right at the end, each part has to do its work. Two practical implications very quickly. If you're not in a Bible study group, can I then encourage you to make every effort to join one? So you lean on myself. Because in small groups, you can really have that one-on-one relationship, or one-in-three relationship, one-in-five relationship, to build each other up and hold each other accountable. I strongly encourage that. And my last word of encouragement to you is make every effort to get to church regularly. So you come under the word of God. You can speak the word of God to one another. You can pray together and encourage each other. Then we can continue to grow to be a mature body of Christ. We pray.
You are worthy, Father, of all of our lives. You have brought us back from sin, death, the devil, and judgment. You've raised us up with Christ. You've given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And you call us to follow Jesus, to be part of the local body of Christ. Oh, we thank you for each other and one another. We pray that you'll grow us in the community of grace. Pray, Father, we'll make every effort in carrying each other's burdens, in participating in a way that pleases you. And God, we ask you to do more than we ever ask or imagine, that you would grow us to be a mature body of Christ, united in all things, which you are one God. And our God, this is beyond us, but we know you can do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.